is a podcast recording of The Nature of Things. This podcast was initially recorded May 21st, 2004.
This is a reprise of an episode from May 1988, but it fits in extremely well with the premise of the armchair naturalist driver's seat version. How about that? Sounds like something out of the tropical jungles, but it's not. The setting is actually the Old Fly Marsh, or Peter Scott Swamp, or Navarino Swamp, or Ox Creek. The caller is a little pied-billed grebe, barely 10 inches of bird life, that dives and fishes the shallow water with great skill. More about him in a minute. Listen to this. Yep, that's a bird too, the American bittern, variously called shite poke, stake driver, or thunder pumper. Like most of the heron clan, the bittern shows no vocal refinement. Even his technique is suspect. An ungainly, seemingly ill-proportioned bird, the bittern is actually a marvel of adaptation for wetland living, and his call, ringing out across a sleeping wetland, has a marvelous mystique about it. Ray Krause, a friend and staff member from my Sherburn days, described its vocal contortions as well as anyone I've heard. It looks like it's trying to swallow its own hint. Think on that for a minute. Next, let's travel upland just a bit. It's twilight, and the peepers are just beginning to tune up for the night's concert. We are skulking behind a clump of cornel, when from a grassy glade not 30 feet distant, we hear a series of nasal calls like miniature Bronx cheers. The calls are replaced by the staccato whistling of wings. We crouch down, following the sound with our gaze. In a few seconds, a woodcock, wings a flutter, emerges above the tree line. He mounts upward in a lazy spiral. At the apex, perhaps 100 or 200 feet aloft, the bird hesitates, begins a chippering warble, folds his wings, and follows a zigzag course back to the ground. After alighting and collecting himself, the bird recommences his nasal call, and within seconds is on his way aloft again, wings whistling. On moonlit nights, the performance is repeated far into the evening. One last performance in sound before we wrap this up. The scene is an open glade at the edge of a mature woodland. This performer is the rough grouse, partridge to some of you. Strutting along on an old mossy log, the grouse suddenly rocks back on his spread tail and begins to beat his wings in a strange upward and forward stroke, sort of underhanded wing beats. With each stroke, a muffled thump of remarkable drum-like resonance is heard. The tempo increases until a gentle muffled tattoo, like distant thunder, echoes across the glade. Again, about 10 seconds later, the bird resumes his strutting, crouches silently, or nervously pecks at imaginary objects. This is a fantastic set of performances and an unusual use of the sound-making apparatus. The pied-billed grebe's call is apparently all vocal. The bittern combines bizarre vocal endowments with snapping of its ample bill. The woodcock adds the whistling of wings to a varied vocal repertoire. From our viewpoint, the rough grouse's performance is all mechanical, but in fact, there are some vocal embellishments added between drumming performances. These are but a few of the strange sounds that are well known to any denizen of wetlands, prairies, or woodlands. All represent meaningful communication that goes beyond such simple statements as, "I'm here, where are you?" These are the essentials of most of the performances, but there are also elements of response to other questions such as who and why, even expressions of intent. By them, we guess the bird states his fitness, his readiness, and in a sense his right to perform his male function. The response of his audience of kind, challenge, acquiescence, indifference, will determine the outcome of his performance, the ultimate purpose of which seems to be successful reproduction. There are so many nuances, however, that we might have a right to suspect a deeper purpose and function in terms of both individual and racial survival. How else do we explain group performances, performances in seasons other than the breeding periods, and performances that post-date pair selection and egg laying? Fascinating implications in all of this. Still, we didn't consider, let alone answer, any of these conundrums to enjoy the performances. Perhaps they are simply declarations of at least modest prosperity in the troubled and beset world of wild nature. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening, Tune in next week and keep it natural.